Joining us now is Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and Robert Trainum, the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Network CN8. Robert and Mary, nice to have you back.
Hey, Tony.
Tony, happy inauguration.
Same to you, Mary. Let me begin with you because you must be tired. When we talked to you yesterday, you were in Ohio heading back to D.C. Did you get back in time to see it, and what was your reaction to being there?
I got back in time to not only do some media last night, but to observe the whole thing and to be out with the people and seeing what was going on and how they were feeling. Yes, indeed. And so it's a very high-spirited day, a little bit dimmed by the illness of Senator Kennedy with the seizure that he had during the inauguration proceedings, but a great day.
Robert, was there something that stood out for you, positively or otherwise, about, A, the ceremony, and, B, about the President Obama's speech?
I would say overall, Tony, you know, we stood on the footsteps of democracy's front porch, which is obviously the U.S. Capitol, and hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions, well, time will only tell, we'll see exactly how many people were there, stood there in silence, and they listened to their new president unify the country. And, you know, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, liberal versus conservative, it was very moving to me to look around and see so many people listening attentively to the new president and saying, you know what, I wish him well. You know, this is the beauty of our country is that, you know, for 2 years we fought and we scraped and we talked about being red versus blue and Republican versus Democrat, but today we're all Americans, and that was very special.
Well, you know, in the past, President Obama has been reluctant to directly address his place as the first African-American president, but today, well, here's what he said in his speech.
This is the meaning of our liberty and our creed, why men and women and children of every race and every faith can join in celebration across this magnificent mall, and why a man whose father less than 60 years ago might not have been served at a local restaurant can now stand before you to take a most sacred oath.
That was a telling passage, wasn't it, Mary?
Well, I think so. I think it was an oblique reference to his racial origins, but one doesn't expect more than that. His whole campaign has been about downplaying the race question, and nobody should have expected him to play it up today. But that was a reference to his racial origins, and he got it in. As a matter of fact, the only thing that I saw that he did not include, he even talked in one phrase about not only people of different religions, but people who are not religious. I thought in light of the Rick Warren controversy, he might at least at some point mention the word gay, you know, in the litany of people who live in America, in order to say that, but I didn't see that in
there. I noticed that as well. Karen, Obama directly addressed some of the nation's problems, the struggling economy, wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Do you think that he gave the people who did not vote for him the confidence that he can tackle these problems?
I think he sounded really definite, really purposeful, and in it for the long haul. You know, as Jesse Jackson used to like to say on the campaign trail, this ain't a sprint, this is a marathon. And he's basically saying, this is not going to be all good times, folks. You know, we're really going to have to roll up our sleeves and work. But we could do it during the Depression. We did it during other stressful times in the nation's history, and we can do it now. We have to stop babying ourselves, and we have to roll up our sleeves and get to work.
There's no way to know so soon, Robert, what the country's reaction to him is going to be based on just a few hours of being in office. But given what you have seen and heard just so far, do you have a sense of how well he will be accepted by the rest of the nation, given what he said and did so far today?
You're right, Tony. Only time will tell. Look, President Obama has already demonstrated himself to be a moderate. He is a centrist. He has already alienated the liberal left wing of his party by having Rick Warren give the invocation, by talking about the need to continue in Afghanistan, by talking about the need to perhaps keep the Bush tax cuts in place. So he's already governing from the center, and there's a lot of people out there that's going to be very upset with him. And the reason why is because he's a very gifted politician who has spoke very lofty words during the campaign, and he said A, but now he's willing to do B. And so what you saw, at least what I saw during the inauguration, is him lowering expectations. The question becomes, Tony, is whether or not his millions of supporters out there will be able to have the patience to be able to say, you know what, I understand that he has to govern now. I understand he has to govern from the center. But most importantly, just as importantly, I should say, is the 2012 elections are right around the corner. And, of course, the president and his team are already looking at the elections and saying, you know what, in order for us to do any monumental change, we're going to have to wait until 2012 for us to get elected first. And the only way we can do that is to govern from the center.
Well, I thought it was more of the same in terms of the tone and tenor of his speech. I thought it was also very effective to put the burden of change not just on himself and the government, but on the people out there, so that if things do not change fast enough, part of it is the responsibility of the people. He put that out there. And I also thought it was interesting in the litany of values that he's now trying to renew. He talked about hard work and patriotism and all the values. It sort of reminded me of when Bill Clinton used to talk about the people who work hard and play by the rules, the same kind of theme. And the responsibility reminded me of George Bush and all of his talk about responsibility. And in fact, Bush won. Several presidents have reprised that theme. It was very, very effective, but more of the same and vintage Obama.
Well, to talk about responsibility, let's close the conversation with this thought, because Obama chose Reverend Joseph Lowery to give the closing prayer at today's inaugural ceremony. Now, Lowery co-founded the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in 1957 with Martin Luther King. Here is part of how he ended his benediction.
Lord, in the memory of all the saints who from their labors rest, and in the joy of a new beginning, we ask you to help us work for that day when black will not be asked to get back, when brown can stick around, when yellow will be mellow, when the red man can get ahead, man, and when white will embrace what is right. Let all those who do justice and love mercy say amen.
Now, Karen, you and I, we smiled when he said that as we were watching him.
We did, but we have been churched in the black church, and we knew where that was going, you know. And it was a really interesting bookend, you know. You have Rick Warren at the very beginning opening this ceremony, and then this battle-scarred veteran of the civil rights movement closing it, beginning with this hymn-like stanza, the third stanza of the Negro National Anthem, which was written in 1899.
That's right.
And closing with basically stuff you might jump rope to when you were 10 years old, you know, but he got everything in.
Well, let Mary and Robert get in here in the last couple of minutes that we have. Mary, were you surprised to hear him say those things?
Well, I was surprised, but of course it's very familiar. But some other people who were listening who don't know that history and tradition said, you know, is that politically correct to keep talking about the yellow man and the red man and all the rest? And I had to explain to them that that's part of the tradition.
Robert, yeah, what did you think when you heard that?
Organized shock. And the reason why I say that is because as a black man, and obviously seeing a black man being inaugurated and seeing a sea of black faces, I was very at home by hearing those words, as someone had mentioned a few moments ago about just being schooled in the black church. A little shocked, a little taken aback that was said at an inauguration. But having said that, you know, this is a moment that, frankly speaking, that every single day that Barack Obama is president, whether it be to 2012 or to 2016, he will be rewriting history. And I think he will be schooling all of us and reminding all of us about what it means to be a black person in America.
I want to thank all of you for participating, your comments and insight. And I want to just end by telling you something that I read in the Washington Post today in a column of Eugene Robinson, which I thought was very apropos of our description of America with a new black president. Quote, "Our mental furniture is being rearranged," end quote. Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, Robert Trainum, the D.C. bureau chief of the Comcast network CN8, and Karen Grigsby Bates, an NPR correspondent for the National Desk. One and all, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.